That you're okay there. All right, great. Good morning, everyone. Thank you, Jeremy, for the worship. That was really good. It's true that God stays with us through everything, absolutely everything. He never abandons us. It's true that His power and love is greater than any struggle or any question, any backsliding, any tough seasons we ever go through. He's faithful to bring us through. This morning, my message is basically a question, and actually, as I think of it, spiritual renewal. I've been sending you some notes on spiritual renewal, and this week I haven't sent anything yet, but I will later today. But the next chapter, I guess, or topic you could say, will be on hunger, because we all know that we need to be hungry, because if we don't eat, we die, right? So hunger for God, the thirst for God, and the focus on Christ are all things that help us in our journey and help us to grow. But today, my message is basically a question, and my question for you to consider is this. Who is a Christian? And what I mean by that is not how do you become one, because I really believe we've covered that extremely well, and you know that really well, how to become a Christian. So my question is more related to who is a Christian after they become saved. What would you say to someone who might ask you to describe the life of a Christian? They might ask you, what is it like to be a Christian from day to day? Who is a Christian? It may seem like a very basic question, but it's an important one, especially in the time in which we're living, because really, we're supposed to be living according to what we hear in a post-Christian country. We live in a very secular society, we know that. And yet, to this day, 75% of Americans say they are Christian. And 63% of Canadians say they are Christian as well. And we see them everywhere. They're on TV, they're politicians, they're sports people, they're professional athletes, they're entertainers, they're movie stars, they're all over the place. We see them everywhere we go, and yet we know that just because something calls itself Christian doesn't mean it's the real deal, amen? Amen. Now, it's not our job to judge everyone else's walk, but it is certainly our responsibility from time to time, like Jeremy taught in that song today. He's calling us. He's always calling us to come back home when we wander from Him in our thoughts or in our ways, forever how long that might be. And it's because He loves us that the Bible even contains warnings about what it's going to be like in the end times and what we need to guard and why we need to protect ourselves. It's not because God wants to be mean. It's because He wants us to experience the life that He came to give us. Amen? But it feels like Christianity out there is kind of like, you know, the ice cream parlor. Everyone, you can go in and choose your flavor. Pick your Jesus. Whatever Jesus you're comfortable with, that's what makes you a Christian. Or some people treat it as some kind of a ticket you buy, where you say a prayer, you buy a ticket, and that means you'll go to heaven someday, but in the meantime, you can do whatever you like. And so there's all these deceptions and all these superficial opinions about what it means to be a Christian. And we need to make sure that we know what it truly means, that we know what is authentic Christianity. Amen? Jesus said that the relationship God wants with us is like a marriage. But I'm imagining what it would feel like. Say you're a bride and you're at the altar and your husband-to-be says this to you in the vows. What is the least that I can do to stay married to you? What is the lowest level of commitment, the lowest and fewest numbers of affirmations, the smallest promises? What is the minimal requirement for maintaining husband status? That's how so often people treat their walk with Christ. And I am not speaking to you from a position of great victory that I've perfected this. I'm speaking to you from a position of where God has been dealing with me for years, a number of years, showing me the depths of what it really means to be a Christian, wooing me into that life of surrender that he's asking for. Now, I think if anyone can define who a Christian is, it should be Jesus, right? He knows, and he took a lot of time to teach his disciples what a Christian was going to look like. He spent a lot of time, told them a lot of stories and a lot of parables, and a lot of the stuff he said was really challenging. I mean, first of all, he said that Christians are going to be people of the Spirit. They're going to have to be born of the Spirit. It's not something you can do mentally. It's not a club you can join. It's not just an ideology. It's a person, the person of God. And so the first thing a Christian has to be is a person of the Spirit. And we need to believe that the Holy Spirit lives in us. When we have genuinely repented and asked Christ to be our Savior, we need to believe that the Holy Spirit lives in us and begin to act on that. Because truthfully, if we wait for a feeling, we're never going to grow. If we're always looking for a buzz, if we're always looking for a feeling, we're going to be deceived, the Bible says. And yet, the truth of the matter is that as we focus on the Holy Spirit, as we cultivate a relationship with the Holy Spirit, Jesus becomes more and more real to us. The Holy Spirit is the most precious gift God could have given. Because basically he said, here's my heart. Here's my heart. I'm placing it inside of you. Our two hearts are going to beat as one. You are mine and I am yours. We are in this intimate union together. Here's my heart is really what Jesus is saying to us. I'm giving you my Spirit, he said in John 14. I'm not going to leave you as orphans. You're not going to be disconnected from God, he said, after I leave physically. You're going to have my Spirit living in you. That is the greatest promise we could have ever had from him. There's nothing more he could have ever given us. We have his Spirit, but if we don't believe it, or if we feel like the enemy will try to always convince us that we're unspiritual, that we can't hear the Spirit of God, that we can't know the Spirit of God. And it's a total lie. One of the reasons why it's so important for us to know who is a Christian? Who am I as a Christian? Is because the devil doesn't want you to know that very thing. As long as we remain superficial, or as long as we remain unsure, he will just continually bombard our minds with questions and what ifs. He's a liar. He's a deceiver. He deceived Eve, and he's been deceiving people ever since. He is a liar, and he is the father of lies. And he will always try and convince you that you are less than what God wants you to be. And as we believe those lies, we fall apart spiritually and we struggle. And we struggle more than we need to. Because even though the Christian life isn't just a piece of cake, we are equipped for it. But we have to believe that. I have to believe that I am a spiritual person, despite, as the song said this morning, the times that I fail, the times that I miss it, the times that I blow it in God. He never leaves me. He's there always. So Christians are people of the Spirit. And I really believe we need to embrace that Holy Spirit. Embrace him again as a precious, precious gift. Jesus taught that we would be people of the Spirit. And Romans 8 says that the people who are led by the Spirit of God, those are the children of God. The people who are led by the Spirit of God, those are the children of God. That tells me that I'm not in charge anymore. That tells me my life is not my own anymore. That I don't just sign a little ticket on the register to say, okay, I'm a Christian now, but God, you know, I'll see you in heaven, but I'll do whatever I like in the meantime. And it's easy for any of us to do. There isn't a Christian that has ever lived, no matter how victorious or no matter how miraculous their ministry might have been, who didn't at times struggle, who didn't at times doubt, who felt weak at times. So we need to believe that we're equipped with the Holy Spirit. Jesus also taught that we would be people of the cross. People of the cross. In Luke 9, he said, "If anyone desires to follow after me, let him take up his cross daily. For whoever wants to keep his life is going to lose it." For all of us who may be control freaks, for all of us who may want to have that piece of control, like the rich young ruler, he did everything right. He knew all the commandments. He said he kept them from childhood. And Jesus said, "Okay, go and sell everything you've got." In other words, if you want to follow me, Jesus said, you've got to take the plunge. You've got to take the plunge. He says to the guy, "Go and sell everything you have and then come follow me." But he wasn't able to do it. He couldn't love God enough to let go. There was something he had to keep. He had to keep, I guess it was his money, his security. I don't know, his status, I'm not sure. But that one thing, just that one thing, kept him from God. Because God's saying, "I don't want your leftovers. I didn't die so I could just have your leftovers. I want all of you. I want all of you." Amen. And that's why he said the commandment, the first commandment, is something we can't do. Isn't that wonderful? We can't do it. So who's going to do it then? Because the commandment is, "Thou shalt love the Lord your God with all your heart." Yes. He's not willing to share all your heart, all your mind, the way you think, all your strength, your activities, what you do. Am I doing this? Is this pleasing to God? Do you understand what I'm saying? So he's saying to the rich young ruler, he said, "You've got to take the plunge if you want to follow me." Kind of like maybe ziplining. Has anybody ever gone ziplining? I haven't. But my understanding is that you're equipped, thank God, you're connected to the line. But once you plunge off that platform, there's no turning back. You plunge off that platform and you're in fear. You're in fear of letting go of control. We all have that fear. But once the initial heart in your chest passes and you sense that you're being held, then you can let go and go down the line. Amen? So we're people of the cross, meaning we don't have to suffer with thought attacks all the time. We don't have to let the devil speak to us and tell us we're no good. We don't measure up, we're not loved, we're unworthy, and all the other nasty things, because we can take the cross and crucify that thought. See, the cross life is not, it is self-denial, that's true. It means it's not my life, it's Christ in me. Hopefully Christ in me, the hope of glory, the Bible says, right? And that's not to say that God wants puppets, that he wants you to ask him what color shirt you should wear, or whether you should have tea or coffee, or any of those questions. But it means that in my life, I believe that Christ lives in me, and I believe that he ministers through me and to me. And that means that I need to make myself available 24 hours a day for him to call upon me to do whatever he wants. "Not my will, but thy will be done," Jesus said. Amen? Amen? So we're people of the Spirit, and we're people of the cross, and we're people of love because we're called to love the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind. And I'm not trying to say that, you can hear this message today and then you can leave here and you've done all this, because this is a journey. This is a journey. This is a lifelong pursuit of God. He says, "If you will seek me, you will find me when you seek me with all of your heart." We are always going to have some struggles. We're always going to have some questions. But God's love for us is bigger than all of that. And we may not know until we actually see him face to face the fullness of what he has planned for us, the fullness of the glory that he has planned for us. But we need to be forward moving. Because if we're not forward moving, if we don't challenge each other to move forward, we will just grow stagnant and we'll grow superficial. And we just will become, what did I read the other day? Almost Christians. Kind of almost Christians, which I don't want to be. And I'm sure you don't either. So when John 14, let's go to John 14 for a moment, and then we'll move to a different verse. John 14, verse 15, Jesus said this, "If you love me, you will obey what I command. And I will ask the Father, and he'll give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because he doesn't see him, or they don't see him or know him. But you know him, for he lives with you, and he will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me, because I live, you will also live. And on that day, you will realize that I'm in the Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commandments and obeys them, he's the one who loves me, and he who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I will love him and show myself to him." We want God to manifest himself. We want him to show himself to us, but it's going to mean taking the plunge. Loving God is not an emotion, it's a choice. Initially it's a choice, but it's like anything else. Love feeds. So when you feed the love, it grows. When you don't feed a relationship with love, it dies. So Pastor John and I were talking the other day, we don't believe in eternal security as many, many denominations do, but we don't believe, as some preach, that you can lose your salvation like a set of keys or a wallet. But what we do believe is that through neglect and over time, when we don't love God, when we don't move forward, we don't pay any attention, ultimately we're saying to him, we don't want you. We believe that you can't lose it, but you can reject it, or you can neglect it to the point where it's no longer, it's not there anymore, whatever that might be. Because all of us know when marriages fail, okay, yeah, sometimes there's outright abuse and this and that, but we're not married to an abusive God, right? Amen. When relationships fail, it's typically because they were not nurtured. They were not fed. And our love for God, so how do I do it? Where do I go from here if I feel like I don't love God enough? Well, I always bring my struggles right to God and tell him the truth. God, I don't love you enough. But I believe that if I ask you to help me, your Holy Spirit will help me. Because the Bible says that his love is in my heart through the Holy Spirit. I can worship God. I can enter into worship instead of standing and watching. I can enter into worship. And that is loving God. And I can do what the Word says. And that's going to mean doing things. That's going to mean the cross life. Because not everything he calls us to do is comfortable for our flesh. In fact, most of it isn't. Right? But it is the way to the fullness of life that God calls us to. So we're people of the Word, and we're people of obedience. And it's not that obedience is this awful chore. If we can grasp how short our life here really is, how magnificent this salvation is, if we can grasp what Jesus has done. You know, we say, why is he allowed suffering? You know, Jesus willingly suffered. Willingly suffered for us. He paid. I don't think it was just that he suffered on the cross. That was terrible. But he suffered. Coming to earth, becoming human, when he had never had to live in an atmosphere like this. He suffered rejection. He was despised, the Bible says. He was spit upon. He was ridiculed. He was mocked. And he went through all of that because of love, because he loved us so much. Amen?
Amen?
So a Christian, then, is a spirit-born, spirit-filled lover of God who is becoming like Christ as Jesus does his ministry to him and through him. Because you see, what God wants is union. He wants oneness. The commands of God are actually the promises of God. The commands of God are for our well-being. Let's look at Philippians. That's where I want to go. I want to talk just for a second about Paul. Because Paul was also a person who knew how to... Paul was a person who knew what a Christian was. When Paul became a Christian, every single thing about him was completely and totally changed. When Peter became a Christian, after he received the Holy Spirit, everything about him changed. And they changed quickly. And I know that's not always the way it is. It's not typically the way it is, but the church was just starting. And I guess God did a quick work in some of these people to get things off the ground, to get the church the momentum he wanted. But I mean, Paul had a dramatic experience, but he was totally different after that, right? Here's what he says in Philippians chapter 1. He writes these letters, and the letters are always born of love, and they always contain encouragement as well as challenge. Amen? And so he says, grace and peace to you from God our Father. Grace and peace, things we need, want, and love. He says, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ. He says, it is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. For whether I am in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love would abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruits of righteousness that come through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Wow. His prayer, he says, I long for all of you. He wrote this letter from prison. And this was a church that he had planted. And he wrote the letter from prison. And he says, I long for fellowship with you. I long for you with the affection of Christ. When we yield and surrender to God, when we surrender to the love of God is much stronger, as Dorothy prayed, than natural love. He enables us to love the church. He enables us to love the church because Jesus loves the church. He enables us to long for fellowship together because you and I, listen, we may have nothing in common. We may have different personalities. We may have different cultural backgrounds. We may have different styles, different levels of education, different across the board. But the most important thing about us, the most important truth about my life and yours, is that we belong to Jesus by the grace of God. And that ties us more strongly than all of the others combined ever could. That makes us a body, tied together forever, bound together forever. And only God can give us this kind of love. We'll never do it in our own strength. So if we're struggling to love one another, we know that's a red flag, that that's not the Spirit of God. Because the Spirit of God does not struggle to love you. No matter how weird you may appear to be to one another, the Spirit of God loves you still. And he will stay. Am I making sense? Okay? So Paul's writing this. The very people, the kinds of people that he once hated, once persecuted, and was against with every fiber of his being, are now the people that he cherishes and the people that he loves. And his prayer, and this is really important, because to be a Christian is to be a person of prayer. And prayer isn't hard. Don't let the devil tell you it's hard, because it isn't. Talk to God. Just pour out your heart to God. Tell him your struggles. I'm positive that God is bigger than that, and he will bring you through. He may not immediately answer all our questions, but someday when we see him face to face, it's all going to make sense. But part of faith is not knowing everything. But it is knowing enough to know who Jesus is. Amen. How precious he is. How much he loves us. And when he puts his Spirit inside of us, the purpose of that Spirit there is to make us like Christ. In other words, holy. Holy people. And so there's much more for us to experience, way more, I believe. And he says that he wants our love to abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight. Isn't that amazing that the love of God can bring us depth of insight, that the love of God can bring us knowledge, that our mind is involved in all of this, that so that we can be pure and blameless until the day of Christ. Praise the Lord. And then in chapter 3, I'll close with this. Finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write these things to you again. It is a safeguard for you. A safeguard for you. You see, when he writes these challenging things, when he calls the Christians to come back home, when he calls the Christians to examine their walk and see where they're at in their journey of faith, he does it because of love. He does it because of love, because all of the areas in our life that we just leave open, that we don't surrender to God, those are the areas the enemy will come every time. He's vicious. The Bible says in 1 Peter 5:8 that he goes about like a roaring lion. What does that mean? He intimidates. He puts fear in your heart because he wants to destroy your relationship with Jesus. He's fine with everything, come to church, pay your tithes, all of that. But if you start getting serious about being all that God wants you to be, he doesn't like it. He's afraid of it. He's terrified of the cross, and he's terrified about anyone who's willing to carry their cross. Amen? Amen. Amen. And so, where are we here? So here in this letter, he says, finally, my brothers, rejoice in the Lord. It is no trouble for me to write the same thing to you. It is a safeguard for you. Watch out for those dogs, those men who do evil, who the mutilation of the flesh. In other words, he's talking about false teachers, false doctrines, deceptions, and lies. He said, for it is we who are the circumcision. We who are the circumcision. That's his knowledge of who he is as a Christian. I have to be able to say to myself that I am of the circumcision. What does that mean? It means I have a new heart. It means God has given me, he said, I will put a new heart in you and I will give you a new spirit, says the Lord. And I will be your God and you will be my people and I will walk among you. And you and I, we will be one. To be the circumcision means that I have a new heart. Amen. So he says, we are of the circumcision. We who worship by the Spirit of God. If I can encourage you in any way this morning to get started on your journey back home, if that's what you feel you need to do, may I beg you in Jesus' name to be a worshiper of God. To be a worshiper of God, not just on Sunday, although that's a darn good way to start the week. We need to throw ourselves into worship when we come together on Sunday. We need to give it our all. We need to pour in our love for God. Because the more we do, the more we can feel it. I know we want to feel it. We all want to feel it. But there's no relationship where you feel it all the time. Most relationships grow through times of testing. That's when the real... When you're a husband and wife have the first big fight, I'll tell you, that's the test of love. And so we need to be worshipers, and what I mean by that is that we think of our lives in terms of honoring God. Honoring God, no matter where we are, no matter what we're doing, in our jobs and in our mundane things and everyday things, as I said in one of my blogs, there's nothing so ordinary to God that it's not sacred. But we need to be worshipers in the Spirit, worshipers of God, from the Spirit of God. Amen? That's who Christians are. Christians are worshipers. And the Spirit of God will never call us to worship anyone but Christ. Anyone but Christ. So we are, let's see here, we are the circumcision who worship by the Spirit of God, who glory in Jesus Christ. We glory in Jesus Christ. What does that mean? To glory in someone means to take absolute pleasure in them. It means we want to please them. We're delighted with them. We revel in them. We're like, they're glorious to us. They're someone we admire tremendously, someone we have deep regard for, deep respect for, because we're glorying in that person. The glory of our lives is Jesus Christ. Sorry, my phone didn't get turned off.
And so we, as Christians, that's what we are. We glory in Christ. We magnify Him in our hearts. The Bible says, set apart Christ in your heart. We don't do it perfectly. We don't do it all the time. I get that. I struggle a lot. I've had lots of struggles. But I've seen God's faithfulness in not only bringing me through, but challenging me to go deeper. Challenging me to be more surrendered. Challenging me to be more broken. Challenging me to love the cross. Amen. And so when I want to open my big mouth and say something, there's the cross. You know, we don't have to say our negative thoughts about other people. We don't have to report. You know, the only reason to report something to someone else about someone else is because it makes us feel better. Why? Because we're too insecure. Come on. We're way beyond all that. I hope we are. Amen? Yeah. Beyond all that. Because there's a lot at stake. You know what? The Church of Jesus Christ in North America, anyway, is having an identity crisis. A huge identity crisis. And in fact, a number of people now have done studies about this. Because we are so disliked. We are so mistrusted. The church, I mean. We have portrayed, especially in the media, such a wrong version of Jesus that we've lost all credibility and we are not winning souls. And that's a serious problem. And the only way it's ever going to change is if each individual Christian makes up their mind, all right, I'm taking the plunge. I'm going to take the plunge and I'm going to trust that God is going to hold on to me every step of the way. I'm going to let go of my resentment and all of those things. I'm going to just let go of everything in my life that doesn't profit my walk with God. Just dump it. Just get rid of it. Because what is left is the most precious gift in all of life here and then hereafter. Amen. So we glory in Jesus Christ and we put no confidence in the flesh. Oops, that's hard. I battle that every day. What do I mean? I battle every day. Where is my confidence? Is my confidence in myself? Or is it in God? It doesn't mean that it's hard to explain it, but it doesn't mean that I become a weak dummy. There's lots of good information in the world today teaching people how to, what are the good foods to eat and how you can, invest your money wisely in and how family life should work. There's lots of good information out there. It's not to say that we can't learn outside of the Bible, but we put no confidence in anything that leads us away from depending on Jesus. Because the Bible can't explain everything. So there's things that we just have to know that we know by the Spirit of God, right? And so Christians are people who put no confidence in the flesh in the sense that I don't have to work for my salvation before I get saved or after. I can't earn God's favor. I can't earn God's love. I can't impress God by the things I do. But I can try and make sure that the things I do are things He's asking me to do so that He actually is the one that gets the glory. Does that make sense to you? So, basically what I'm saying is, a Christian is someone who's all in. A Christian is someone who loves God more than anything, including your own life. And follows through with changes that make Him more central and us less central in the whole dynamic. Amen? So Father, we know that You've challenged us, and we know that You're calling us home, that's for sure, but You're also calling to be at home in us, where Your Spirit is not just a fact that we know, yes, we have the Spirit, because that's what the Bible says, but in fact Your Spirit is a person who dwells within us and who we long to obey and become like. Even though we fail to do it so often, Lord God, we thank You that You are faithful and that Your grace is there for us always. Father, we thank You that all Your challenges are born out of Your love for us. You do not want us to end up being deceived into thinking we're something we're not. You want us, Lord, to be filled continually with the Holy Spirit of God so that we love Jesus with all our heart.
Lord, I pray for myself and I pray for all my brothers and sisters here this morning, God, that you would cause such a momentum in us, that you would cause us to be those people who shine with the love of Jesus, that the world will know that you are real, your word says, when we love one another. I pray that you would change us because you promised us transformation from glory to glory. And we've tasted of your glory, Lord God, and we love your glory, but we want more glory and we want more of you, Jesus. And that's why we are rekindling our hunger and our thirst for you, Lord God. Father, today we ask you to take us, Lord, we ask you to take us to be with you where you are, as you promised, Lord. We ask you to fill us afresh with determination to do our part in responding to your love. And we thank you, God, that it's all by grace, that even the fact that we can love you is because you put the spirit of love in our hearts, Lord. So help us just to be those who respond. As the song said this morning, we can hear him calling us home. Help us to take at least one step this week, Lord, in that direction, to be mindful that we are on a forward journey, that even Paul, who experienced so much, said, I have not experienced it all yet. He said, I press on. I press on. He didn't say God made me press on. He says, I press on so that I can receive all that Christ has died for in my life. So, Father, we thank you today for your goodness, Jesus. We thank you for just encouraging our hearts, Lord God. We thank you, God. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. So maybe we can just take a few moments and think about what was shared and pray to God to help us to move forward in Him. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. You know, that made me think of that song. Not that we're going to do it now, but when we did do it, remember the song, Jesus, All for Jesus. All I am and have, because it's only in your will that I'm free. Amen. So let's just take a few minutes and worship and pray and respond to the Holy Spirit.